We're going to introduce you to today's amazing guest in just a few seconds, but first, I want to invite you to join the Sensei Leader Movement. Our mission is to support and develop human-centric leaders all over the world, leaders who care and put people first, leaders like you. Your membership is free and gives you access to online workshops, our monthly newsletter, preferred rates on coaching, and, as they say, much, much more. Visit slmjoinfree.com to sign up. And you'll get instant downloads of all three books in my 8 Strategies for Leaders series for joining right now. That's slmjoinfree.com. You know, it's always cool to have a close friend on the program. And this is someone, not only is she just a dear friend, but she's been a terrific mentor to me ever since I got involved in the speaking business. And she's got some really unique ideas on leadership and some really unique life experiences. So we'll be back in just a second with Michelle Nuyar.
People who inspire, empower, and guide us to our very best. Leaders who are walking the walk. Your host, leadership activist, author, and founder of the Sensei Leader Movement, Jim Bouchard.
Michelle, you know, you've got such a great story. I just want to start off by listening to you. I want you to tell everybody about how you got started in life and in business and all the obstacles you had to overcome. And I know you could probably talk about that for a couple hours, but...
Your listeners probably don't want to listen for a couple hours.
Well, we'll do the Reader's Digest version, and then we'll get into some other stuff, huh?
I'm sure you can relate to this. You know, the story is like, you know, have a train wreck life and then fight really hard to come back from that.
Yeah, I think I could identify.
Absolutely. And I think it makes us grateful every day for what we have.
But I didn't have quite the same issue as you did. So you can.
Yeah, a little different.
I'm not capable of that.
So, you know, just growing up and as a young person, I was always kind of a weird kid. And as I look back now, it was kind of that entrepreneurial thinking. Mm-hmm. So grew up, never had a lot of money. Our parents moved a lot. They were entrepreneurial thinkers. My dad was a motivational junkie. But it was kind of we were functionally very dysfunctional. And I had zero self-esteem.
I'm going to steal that. I like that.
Yeah, I say that about my own family. You know, my kids and I laugh. Like, we're functionally dysfunctional, and I think we all are. But I had this vision all along that someday I wanted to speak or teach or lead or, like, that I wanted something more than I had, which was a really negative mindset and didn't believe in myself and believed I, you know, on one hand that I'd never amount to anything. And then there was this piece inside that said, well, maybe, what if? Like, what if it could be different? And I had my first child. I got pregnant as in my junior year of high school and had my son in the spring of my senior year. And that, to me, was a pivot point.
And that's the thing I was referring to that I wasn't capable of.
Yeah, that was a pivot. Yeah. You know, I looked at this little human who now I was his sole source of physical, emotional, you know, support. Mm-hmm. And it was a wake-up call. You better get your crap together, Michelle.
Well, not everybody does that.
True. Right. But it was like from somewhere very deep inside. And it for me was a pivot. I took, you know, most of my pregnancy deciding very purposefully, would I place him for adoption or would I parent? And I am really grateful that there were some really wise people in my life at that time who were like, you need to go to these panels and you need to listen to what it's like to be a teen mom and what it's like to, you know, place a baby for adoption. As a teen, you know, as a pregnant teenager, there's not a good option. And so I was purposeful in making that decision with the little amount of maturity that I had. And I think that really helped to listen to the stories, to listen to the young women who had gone before me and really wrestle with that. So when Brandon was born, I was scared to death. But it was scared enough that it was not, I didn't freeze. Because right. I think sometimes fear can make us, you know, freeze. It was, all right, it's time to do something. And then it wasn't an easy road from there. But that was really a line in the sand where I said, from here on out, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to work towards really creating a different life for myself.
You know, that's one of the things I so admired about you, even from the first time I met you and heard your story, because you know, that's the exact definition of courage that we talk about around here. I mean, courage isn't the absence of fear. The absence of fear is stupidity, right? Uh-huh. You know, courage is, you know, seeing what's in front of you, getting up and doing what needs to be done anyway. And it's remarkable you learned that at a very young age, because, you know, there are many ways to express leadership, but I think one of the most challenging ways and one of the most important ways is parenting. And I'm not criticizing anybody who would decide to go a different route. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, I've known people that have given up children for adoption, and I respect that decision. I think it probably was the best one for them at the time. But for you to really embrace that and to move forward, that's really incredible.
It's been a fun journey.
Well, that's the thing. You have enjoyed it, haven't you? I mean, I know there's been tough times, but I know you always had a good spirit about that.
Absolutely.
Well, there, make some more.
No, that ship has sailed.
There you go. Listen, one of the things too, you know, and I know, you know, that's an incredible story in itself, but you've also built successful businesses and you've really fulfilled all the dreams you just talked about. You are a speaker, you are a teacher. And for people that don't know Michelle yet, she runs the entrepreneurial program at one of our community colleges here, Southern Maine Community College. And it's just a terrific program. And I've met many of her students. She has me come and speak with her students, and they all love her. Except, well, maybe one or two don't, but we have no use for them.
Oh, I get my share of negative evaluations.
Don't we all, huh? Don't we all? What's the best thing about teaching that really means something deeply to you?
For me, I was a community college graduate, mm-hmm. and that was really my only option. You know, I started a community college. I was 17. I had graduated from high school early, and the instructors there really cared about me as a human being. And there were so many times that I can think back to where I wanted to quit. And there were days where I would drop Brandon off at daycare. He would cry so hard. I would turn around and go back home and pick him up, go back home. And there were so many times I wanted to quit. And this small community college, I was a misfit, and I wasn't your traditional college student, but there was a place where I belonged and where mm-hmm. people really believed in me. And that's the one thing that I love the most about teaching is there are days that I feel like, is anyone hearing me? Is anyone listening? Does anyone care? And then just last week, I had two students reach out who had taken entrepreneurship, both of them probably 7-8 years ago, who said, I remember your class and it left an impact and I'm ready to start a business. Could you help point me in the right direction?
Right.
And so I think it's being able to be that and hold that space for my students. And they also keep me young and they challenge me. Primarily we have some older students, but primarily we're, you know, hitting that, you know, college age group. And, you know, they keep me young. And I'll probably be that 70-year-old lady who's going.
That'd be all right, huh? But you know, it's so cool when you're talking about that because, again, you know, spirit of full disclosure, knowing your students and interacting with them, first of all, you're sharing much more than business. And I don't want to say just entrepreneurship. You're sharing much more than just entrepreneurship because entrepreneurship is, to me, is one of the most noble pursuits you could set out on. But you know, whether somebody decides to get into business for themselves or not, they're taking a lot of lessons out of your class that are going to apply. You know, we're always talking about, as far as workplace engagement, people should own their jobs, right, and be entrepreneurs even if they're employees. But before, there's one point I wanted to hit before we forgot too. Again, you know, to talk about leadership by example. Leadership is sharing. You've heard me say that. That's my core belief. Leadership is sharing, leader shares. That's what it's all about. Everything else is gravy compared to that. But for you to have that experience, being a young mom and whatnot, you have now, and you said you were a misfit then, but now there's a lot of young women who are either single moms or very young moms that are in the community college system. And I know, having met some of them, that you're a tremendous role model, a leader by example to them.
I think my students are shocked day one of class because I go in, I had actually shared a TED talk here on campus quite a few years ago, and I shared my story. Mm-hmm. And I do the same thing on the first day of class, and I think sometimes students are shocked.
Well, it's good for them to be shocked once in a while, right?
But I also, I want them to know I'm a human being.
Yeah.
I'm here because I care.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I'm also very passionate about the work that we do here. And I didn't, I am very grateful for where my life is today.
Mm.
But I don't ever forget where it was and how hard it was starting. And I think sometimes for all of us, I can look at other consultants or speakers or others and think, wow, they've just got it all together. And I don't know their backstory.
Yeah.
So giving them, here's my backstory. I'll often have students come up to me and say, well, thanks for sharing that. Like, mm-hmm. it made you approachable. You're human.
Right.
And I want to be human to the students. Doesn't mean that I don't hold the line.
No. But see, that's an interesting thing, too, because, you know, research shows, not like we needed research. I mean, like Lao Tzu wasn't writing about this 2,000 years ago. But anyway, you know, what the research shows is that if we're willing to show a little bit of ourselves to people, right, that we show a little vulnerability. And I think it was Gallup that did a study on this that showed that that was one of the key elements to earning trust as a leader, is to show some vulnerability. They don't want you just crying on your sleeve all the time, right? But to show a little bit of yourself as a human being, right?
Yeah, there's that, you know, we don't blab at all.
Mm.
But I believe in the classroom, in business, in mentor, you know, out in the community,
mm-hmm.
I think people expect that more than they ever have before. Mm. I think social media has expanded what we, kind of that level of transparency that we expect from organizations and individuals.
Yeah, maybe too far there, huh?
Sometimes, yeah. Yes, I absolutely agree.
Yeah. I want to know, you know, I always want to know some of your warts, but not all of them when I meet somebody, right? Or you can save some of them for later anyway, right? But yeah, no, I hear you. The social media thing, that's a conundrum. I'm still, you know, I'm not born in the right century anyway. And I love the technology. I embrace it, but I still don't quite know what to do with it.
Yeah. I think a lot of us feel that way.
Yeah. I'm not alone. I'm not the Fred Flintstone in the room.
No.
Feels that way sometimes. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your current business and what you do. Cause you do consult with other business people and you've built, you and your husband, Dave, have built businesses yourselves and, been in the construction and the trades and all that for a long time. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So it was funny. I was talking to somebody about this earlier today. If I look back in, you know, the early part of my career, I was 100% speaking.
Mm.
And then as we grew the construction company, one of the things that, a lot of things I loved about it, David and I had a blast being in business together, but what we found was we were really good at strategic planning and processes and really putting systems in place to make the, to allow the business to really grow pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I began to really transition from being, you know, full-time speaker and, you know, I obviously was co-owner of this construction company as well, to beginning to do some, you know, at that point, what I called coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, what's transformed is all of that strategic planning. David and I used to go away like four times a year and we'd have these strategic planning retreats and we would work on everything from standard operating procedures to our HR policies. And we had built this business that really, I mean, we went on vacation once for 3 weeks and I think the business did better without us than when we were there. But what I learned is I really loved that work. And when we moved to Maine, I was tired. I was tired of being on an airplane all of the time. I was feeling that I was missing out what was happening at home. And so I began to transition my business from speaking and occasionally coaching to consulting and speaking much less.
Right.
And
so right.
Today, I wouldn't, you know, you can use the words, many people use them interchangeably, coach, consultant. I like to think of what I do.
Whatever it is this week, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But really what I do now is I like to partner with an organization in their growth and or shoring up processes. So a lot of my work now revolves around strategic planning, but not just facilitating an event, being a partner in the, you know, pre-strategic planning work before the retreat, leading the retreat, and then working with an organization, implementing. For some organizations, that's year after year, I just continue to really go deeper with the organization. So
yeah,
that's where I find myself today. And I'm sleeping in my own bed most of the time, which is awesome. I'm not flying all over, which was awesome when I did it.
Yeah.
But I was tired. And I chose to pivot the business really based on what I wanted in my life.
Well, you're one of those rare people. You really, really do. I can say that. I can vouch for you. You really do love the process of the strategic planning and all those, you know, the technical processes and stuff, like all the stuff that drives me to drink. You seem to really love.
So, Jim, you know, David, you will appreciate this. So we've been kind of brainstorming some things at home. And so he came home from work a couple weeks ago and I had flip chart paper.
Hold that thought. That would be a good place to pick it up after break. All right, we'll be right back with Michelle Nuyar. The research is bombproof. People perform at their best when and only when they know their leaders care, when they know their work has meaning, and when they have the chance to learn, grow, and develop. To accomplish this, we need to connect with the people we serve, the people who trust in our leadership. Leaders today need emotional intelligence, strong interpersonal skills, and an accurate sense of self-awareness. I'm Jim Bouchard, leadership activist and founder of the Sensei Leader Movement. The Sensei enjoys a very special relationship with students. It's one built on respect, trust, and loyalty. And these are also a leader's most valuable assets. I help you build these relationships. I work with you to help you inspire, empower, and guide your people to their very best. That's what the best leaders do, and that's what the Sensei does. My job is to help you be the Sensei, so you can lead your people to their very best and yours.
Executive coaching, workshops, corporate training. Visit thesenseileader.com or call 207-751-4317 today to learn more.
Nuyar is a no-nonsense business consulting company uniquely focused on growth. The mission is to help committed business owners and executive teams clarify purpose, execute strategy, and overcome challenges in order to achieve successful, long-term growth and impact the world around them. Nuyar helps companies bust through revenue plateaus, improve systems and processes to increase efficiency and effectiveness, and execute visionary strategic plans. Hands-on and fully engaged, they work closely with business owners, becoming an extension of their leadership team, an energetic ally and trusted partner. Michelle Nuyar, owner and lead consultant, is a contagiously positive straight talker. Michelle's an energetic entrepreneur and brass tacks business person. She's serious about helping businesses grow, and she brings a depth and breadth of real business experience to each one of her clients, whether a small business owner or a multi-million dollar corporation. Learn more at Nuyar.com. That's nuyar.com. All right, Michelle, flip charts. You were talking about flip charts.
and you were just saying, you know, that you really know that that's my thing. It is. I just think that way. And so David and I were working through some stuff. And so he came home from work one day and I had flip chart paper stuck all over the walls in the kitchen and the dining room. And I was like, are you ready to get to work? And he's like, what are you doing?
We're gonna
work through this. Like, I've got a plan. We need to kind of put a mini strategic plan around this. And they're still hanging there. We're still kind of in process with the discussions we're having, but I'm just cracking up. I'm like, yeah, probably most men don't come home to parts of strategy.
No, it's funny because, you know, two of our dearest friends and frequent guests on the show, you know, Judy Hoberman and Don Taylor, and they're kind of the opposite. They're both good planners, but Don's the one with the flip charts and the white paper and all that stuff. And every time he talks about that whiteboards, I said, no. Let's throw something on the grill. That's my whiteboard, I guess. There it is. Michelle, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, and you know, it's weird because to me, you know, I've seen so many changes over the last few years in leadership, and there's still this highlight. In fact, I'm going to go speak at a women's leadership conference again in just a few weeks. And it's interesting because there's so many times I hear women say, here's what we feel that's different than men, and vice versa. But interestingly enough, when we get in the same room, I find there certainly are some differences that need to be respected. But most often, for instance, and one of the big ones is this. Sometimes I'll hear women say, well, you know, women leaders, we were more emotional about business than men. And I said, well, geez, you should have been in the room with the men. You should have heard them, right? Do you think there's still a huge, huge gap that way? Or do you think things are closing? Or do you think we're stealing from each other? What's the situation?
I think it's so unique to individuals and their life experience.
Thank you.
I don't bump up against it in my work. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a real emotional person. I have a, you know, most of my clients are men. And it took me a lot of years to, and I was kind of trying to go after this women's market for so long. Mm-hmm. And then one day I had a mentor of mine say to me, Michelle, like, your primary client is men. But I think it is about where we've come from, what our training is, who we are, personalities. I don't think there's a, it's a line as leaders is it's this is female and this is male.
Right, right. Because the flip side of that too is sometimes, I'll hear, you know, in a women's event, I'll hear sometimes they say, well, the men are more authoritarian. And I say, well, geez, I think a lot of you guys are too, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's too many other factors that come into that, because I see it in both ways. I mean, right. I was in a meeting a couple of days ago with, you know, I mean, this woman was a powerhouse,
right.
And in a really
well, like you.
Good way, but I was like, yeah. Ooh, you go, girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've seen, you know, grown men in strategic planning cry. And
yeah.
So.
I would if I were doing that. And it takes a lot to get
it's
me to cry.
Not that bad.
Yeah. Next, we'll have to have you can guide me through the process. We'll see what happens.
Perfect.
Because yeah. I don't mind crying in front of you. I don't cry very often. I can count on my hands how many times I've cried as an adult. But I'd break down in front of you. I'd be comfortable.
Perfect. All right. That's the challenge.
That's the challenge. You're going to make me cry. I love it.
With flip charts.
With flip charts. And if it doesn't work with the mental part, just whack me over. Well, no, that wouldn't get me to cry. I like getting hit over the head, so that part wouldn't work, would it? Here's a left field question, and it's funny because, you know, this is one of those questions that so many people think that it's a stock. I don't have any stock questions. I mean, you know, I like to listen to you and see where the conversation goes, but this is one that I pull off mostly with people that I trust a lot because I care about what you're going to say on this one. If you think about a leader that most inspired you, and this doesn't have to be a famous person sometimes, usually it isn't, but just a leader that influenced you in your life and why, because that's really the important part of the question.
It is my grandfather, my Papa John.
Mm-hmm.
And from he's probably one of the hardest workers I've ever met. And he worked, you know, three or four jobs as a young man, you know, building his family. But the thing about my papa was it didn't matter what he was doing. He stopped and was present.
Yeah.
Fully present, whether it was playing Barbies on the floor with the grand girls or, you know, you'd walk in the door and, you know, he was my grandfather. You can't do this in business, but, you know, he'd put one hand on each side of my face and just the love that he had in his eyes was so inspiring. And there were many times where, you know, I was an absolute train wreck as a teenager where he was able to say some really tough things to me, but he earned the right to speak those tough things into my life because he was invested and he was present.
Man, you hit the key word there, isn't it? I mean, you know, to me, the greatest assets that a leader has is respect and trust and loyalty, but you have to earn those things.
Uh-huh.
And so for you to be able to open up to a person like this and for him to, because you do, you have, for someone to be an influence in your life, you have to open up to them. I mean, it's a cycle and you're not going to open up unless you really trust that person.
Yeah. And it's time. You know, it's over and over again. You know, we have an opportunity. I think about it every time I walk into the classroom. A friend of mine many years ago, she has since passed away. She was a fellow speaker, but she had said to me, Michelle, every time you get to an event or you're teaching a class or you're speaking or you're going to see a client, when you touch the doorknob, leave yourself outside. And really what she was saying to me is you're there for them.
Right.
And I think about that every time I walk into the classroom. And I think about, you know, there's consistency. And some days I'm off. Some days I wouldn't want to listen to myself lecture. And some days I have, you know, more brilliance or strategic thought with clients than others. But it's about consistency. I can't show up as a leader one day and yay, rah, rah, and I'm going to be authentic and I'm going to be engaging. And then a month from now, that's not the flavor of the month. And I think that's that. That consistency takes time, because it's hard to stay engaged and continue to be present and have those hard conversations and make space to connect with people when things are busy.
No, it's a discipline. It's a discipline.
It is.
And I like what you said about, you know, the way your grandfather paid attention. I mean, that I wish I could remember who said this. I heard it last year, and I don't know who said this, but I thought it was one of the most beautiful quotes. And you know I'm a quote junkie, you know. But it went like this, that the greatest gift you can give another human being is your attention, and how important that is, right?
It was really encouraging. Yesterday, I was speaking to a group of young professionals in the construction industry, and just a great group of, and not necessarily so young in age, but it was a group of people who signed up for this program and said, we want to lead, and we want to be better leaders. Mm-hmm. And I'd asked them, you know, what is each of them to share, what do you want to accomplish in 2020? Like, what's your intention for this year? And one man raised his hand and he said, I want to be present in every situation.
I like this guy.
And I was like, yes. He goes, now that's probably not 100% attainable, but you know, it just with a absolute conviction, like, yeah. I want to be present.
You know, but I appreciate that you say it probably isn't attainable, but you know that it's those impossible standards that keep us on the right path, aren't they? I remember, you know, when I was training instructors, I've got two things I'm going to demand of you, only two things, you know. First one is never show anger to a student.
Yeah.
Never express anger to a student, right? And the other thing was, I don't even remember what the other thing was off the top of my head. That one's enough because it's impossible, right?
Yeah.
But what it did was it constantly, you know, when I'm off track, I think of that one. That's what I'm shooting for. And that's what keeps bringing me back. So this thing that your student expressed, I think, is one of those things. It's just beautiful. Yeah. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. So we got to talk about you. We got to brag about you a little bit. And we gotta, and absolutely gotta have you. You're welcome on the show anytime you want to. And if you have something, you know, that's topical or something you want to come in and talk about, you just let me know, okay?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, now let's do the bragging part. How do people find you? What's your menu of services? Let's do the commercial.
So you can find me at nu-yar.com. I'm also on all social platforms with the same nu-yar. If you are growing a business or have a business, there's a quiz on my homepage that you can take that can really give you a quick snapshot about the season of business that you're in. Would invite just a connection. And if you found this podcast useful or want to chat more about it, feel free to connect.
You know, and again, I'm going to vouch for you because, you know, you've helped me so much and you know, just the mindset of playing. I'm not saying it all went in, and when I ignored your advice, it was probably to my peril. but you've been so generous in sharing, and I think anybody could benefit. And again, from your students that I've heard so much about how much of an influence you are in their lives. And I you know what? And I think we'll wrap things up with this. Just a little, some of your thoughts about this, because everything you express, I'm so inspired today. That you identified your grandfather as, you know, your favorite leader, and that you talk so much about your relationship with your students and people. People so much look for the grand in things, right? That somebody has to be a big celebrity or an influencer, you know, an influencer in the contemporary sense of the word. And And isn't it the everyday, smallest, most intimate things that really, really, really inspire us the most and have the most influence on us?
Absolutely. It's the smile when you actually, a clerk in the store looks at you, mm-hmm. or the, you know, it, literally walking in public and someone says hello. It's the small things. And I think sometimes we can get caught up in the hype, the grandness of, wow, I went to this amazing event, or I just read this best book, or, you know, wow, this person is famous and they've got all these followers and I'm just, you know, eating up everything they put out there. But I think day in and day out, at least the people in my life who make the biggest difference are not the people with the most followers.
You know, and I asked you that question because you live that every single day. You do so many wonderful small things that are really, really incredible. And that's how you inspire me in my life. So really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Michelle, for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. You're an inspiration.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Walking the Walk. Please like and share. Our mission at the Sensei Leader Movement is to support and develop human-centric leaders. Leaders who put people first. Leaders who inspire, empower, and guide people to their very best. Be part of the movement. Join and access all our free resources by visiting thesenseileader.com. To book Jim or host your own event, call us at 207-751-4317.